This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org, and the Cornell University Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the section of Horticulture, School of Integrative Plant Sciences in the College of Agriculture at Cornell University, and I'm Frank Rossi. It's the Shortcut Podcast for September 7, 2015. Summer in September has brought with it much of the high temperatures and dry conditions to the entire region. The dry conditions along the coastal areas have now spread widely to much of the region, notably much of upstate New York, that heretofore has had adequate moisture. The intense heat stress over the last few weeks has been a good barometer for how stress-tolerant turf is at this time. Many areas are persisting nicely for a variety of reasons, from good soil management to proper fertility and precise water management. However, even the most resilient turf at this time of year under these conditions can begin to succumb to stress compounded by grub feeding, root pathogens, compacted soils, poor irrigation systems, and intense foot traffic. Allowing some stress to occur, especially moisture stress, can allow plants to acclimate to other stress, such as high traffic and heat. The critical question is how much stress can plants take, especially at a time when many areas would normally be shifting to recovery mode, not always playing defense. Water management remains the key at this time, trying to avoid any overwatering that can occur due to poor irrigation distribution, that is, having to overwater one area to get the adequate amount of water on another. This can be solved by individual head control or hand watering, unless system design and lack of labor issues are issues. Be sure high-value turf is maintained with preventative fungicides at this time, as summer patch anthracnose and rust is being reported on turf that is already suffering from other stress. Looking at the weather from last week, it was a very warm week across the region with temperatures 2 degrees above normal to the west, 4 to 6 degrees along the coast. Heat stress is widespread and the longest continuous period of the growing season for much of the region. We are 2 to 3 weeks ahead of last year for growing degree days and at normal for the historical average. Soils are warming well into the 70s at the 2-inch depth. A dry week for most of the majority of the region, seeing no rain at all. ET continues to remain high for this late in the season with totals 3/4 to as much as 1.25 inches of water loss for the week. Pennsylvania and New Jersey have now more than 50% of the topsoil very short on soil moisture, and with Connecticut, Rhode Island, and New Hampshire between 25 and 50% with very low soil moisture. And the forecast for the coming week, a continued period of warm weather with temps 10 to 12 above normal as the trough to our west remains in place. Very little moisture is expected beyond the pop-up shower, and heat stress is high and high disease risk expected through the end of the week. Longer term looks to hold pattern as warm and dry. And you can check out all our weather information at the forecast website. Our regional clips start with a note from our diagnostic director at Rutgers University, Rich Buckley. Summer patch samples really ramping up with fine fescue and Kentucky bluegrass lawn areas as well as golf fairway turf. A note from Randy Prostak, the weed extension specialist at the University of Massachusetts. Nutsedge, kylinga, and stiltgrass issues are persisting throughout the Northeast, along with crabgrass and goosegrass breakthrough. A note from Dave Chinnery, an impressive visual symptoms of summer patch in a capital district on site with poor air circulation enclosed by a slope and buildings and over-irrigated. And finally, our man on Long Island, Nick Menchek at SUNY Farmingdale. Irrigation continues at a fever pitch on many lawns, however, summer watering crabgrass. Lawn renovation going to be tough if no irrigation on Long Island. And a note about a disease management resource from the University of Kentucky. Turfgrass disease pressure is continuing these last few weeks, and many turfgrass managers might not be budgeting for short spray intervals at this time, or do not have various modes of action, frac codes available. An excellent resource to have on your shelf is Professor Paul Vincelli and Greg Munshaw's Chemical Control of Diseases 2015 from the University of Kentucky. The noteworthy aspect of this publication is the efficacy data that is reviewed. This allows turf managers to determine if you can expect a product that might be labeled for a disease actually control the disease. The publication is updated annually, and you should still review your own state's label of a product. And you can get your free download at ca.uky.edu/agcpubsppa, or you can Google Chemical Control of Turf Diseases, Kentucky. And finally, a note, our questions for the week. I've heard that synthetic turf can get very warm. How warm does it get, and are there remedies? A recent tweet from ground staff at the Columbus Crew using a handheld infrared thermometer reveals the disparity among pavement and natural turf and synthetic infield turf on an 85-degree clear day. The pavement is 115 degrees Fahrenheit, the natural turf 98 degrees Fahrenheit, and the synthetic turf at 158 degrees Fahrenheit. Of course, this is the kind of information turf grass managers should be providing of the users of their turf, but realize there are not many options for fixing it. This recent observation supports much of the research that's been conducted on surface heating. Mitigating these situations is not easy, nor is it long-lasting. Some have suggested a new type of infill, cool-fill material that is often referred to reduce surface heating. Others are using irrigation to reduce surface temperatures. The Penn State Center for Sports Surface Research has been evaluating these issues over the last several years and concluded that there are different infill materials that reduce temperature, but for all practical purposes, still warm above 135 degrees Fahrenheit as compared to non-cool fill turf. Second, irrigating synthetic turf for cooling purposes has an immediate and short-lived benefit that mitigates the surface temperatures for about 15 to 30 minutes before it returns to its pre-wet state. It's best to inform the people about the turf in the current weather conditions as there remains high stress conditions expected on synthetic turf fill in the future. And our final question, nutsedge has been a big problem this year. Can I get effective control at this time? Nutsedge has been a growing problem the last several years in areas where soil is saturated and installed in very wet conditions are prevalent. Also, many weak turf areas are easily invaded from dormant nutlets that emerge as new plants. Control with sedgehammer or tenacity is best done in June to ensure some reduction of nutlets. Application at this time of year will knock back existing plants, but nutlets will likely reemerge. Be sure to use a non-ionic surfactant or crop oil concentrate if not included in the formulation you're using. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Frank Rossi, the Extension Specialist here at Cornell University. I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.